Join me in Acts chapter 8. This sermon is a continuation, if you will, from last week. It'll do fine standing on its own, but a lot of what we discussed last week will move over. Acts chapter 8, I will read just in a moment, beginning at verse 26. Last week, during our time here, we met the young man Philip. Philip was sent out from Jerusalem to share the message of Jesus Christ. He was one of the seven that we met back in chapter 6 that was chosen to be one of the deacons to care for the widows, the Grecian widows. And so the people chose seven. Philip was one of those. But here in this capacity, he is the evangelist. And we discussed last week that word euangelion, evangelism, evangelist, means to share the word, means to even preach the word. But here we see Philip being an evangelist, and he shares the good news of Jesus Christ. In the first portion of Acts chapter 8, we see Philip being sent to Samaria. Quite surprising for a person out of the Jewish faith to be sent to Samaria. They were not on the best of speaking terms down through much of their history together. But here, Philip goes to Samaria, just as he was given to go by the Holy Spirit, and he preached to the masses, large gatherings. He did many signs and wonders in front of the people, and we believe there were many converted to the faith through their preaching. Well, today, young Philip is still involved in the story, and we see Philip being sent further into his evangelistic journeys, and so we pick up his story at verse 26 of chapter 8. Please hear the holy, inspired, inerrant word of God. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you were reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began that with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. Here we see Philip meeting the Ethiopian. This Ethiopian is a person of power and of position. He's an official in the court of Queen Candace of Ethiopia, and he had been to Jerusalem, where we presume that he had gone for a festival or for an event. It does tell us that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, so we believe, we know that this Ethiopian was a convert to the Jewish faith, and he was traveling back to Jerusalem as a convert to the Jewish faith was called to do. On his way back to Ethiopia, which it's in basically the same place as we see it today, in the northern part of Africa at the headwaters of the Nile River, just below Egypt. He was reading the scroll, reading the book of Isaiah, particularly this passage comes from Isaiah 53. And Philip, at the urging of the Holy Spirit, ran along the chariot. He called out, "Do you understand what you're reading?" See, back then, it was the custom that most people read out loud. They weren't necessarily the silent readers as we do today. They would read out loud so the people around could hear what was being read. And as the chariot was moving along, this Ethiopian official was reading out, and Philip asked him if he understood. The Ethiopian replies, "How can I understand unless someone explains it to me?" Now, I'd like to stop there, and there's a point that needs to be made. And this entire sermon is going to be rather technical, more than the passion that we might see in the Word of God and being delivered. This one will be rather technical. But here's a critical teaching point that we must understand in this concept, in this idea of evangelism, of being evangelistic. First, the urging and the work of the Holy Spirit. Evangelism is the work of God. We need to be very clear about that. Evangelism, spreading the word, preaching the gospel, it is a work of God. It is a work established and conducted according to His will, and we are simply instruments of it. And instruments, we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here in this story, Philip is very responsive to the moving, to the urging, to the calling out by the Holy Spirit. Twice here the Spirit communicates with him. First, go south on the desert road toward Gaza. And so Philip begins the move. And then he says, "You see the chariot? Go up and run alongside the chariot," my words, "and be ready." And so here we see Philip being responsive to the Holy Spirit and doing simply what the Spirit led him to do. Very important point. Another point that shows the work of the Spirit. Notice the Ethiopian's position in this whole story. The Ethiopian's position reveals the work of the Holy Spirit in his life before Philip arrives. He desires to understand the passage. There are many today that will read the Bible as a fair, I won't even say good, fair history book. They will read it because of its challenges, and so they will read it. And then they become the ones who argue from the text. They're not reading it to understand it. They're reading it to know simply what's in the book. But to see someone, to realize someone who has an earnest desire to understand what is written in these pages, reveals that the Holy Spirit is at work, I believe. And so Philip has been called to go and speak to the Ethiopian, but the Ethiopian is prepared to have that conversation. His modesty as well, I believe, reveals the work of the Spirit. Here is a high-ranking official in the court of the queen. He doesn't have to be involved with the lowly that might be walking along this very common road between Gaza and Jerusalem. His modesty reveals that the Spirit is working. He says, "How can I understand unless someone explains it to me?" He's not so bold and brash to say, as some of us men do when we're putting together the grill or the swing set or whatever, "I don't need the instructions, I'll figure it out." Don't we? See, that's not the Ethiopian. "I need help. I need help." As Henry Blackaby states, we see working here. He says, Blackaby says, "Be sensitive to the work of God and go join him." Here we see that in Philip. Sensitive to the work of the Spirit. And then he goes and he is that instrument to communicate what is needed. I urge us to be like Philip. To be sensitive to the work of the Spirit. To be sensitive to God working in and around us. Have our eyes and ears open. And then when we feel, when we hear, when we realize that God is working there, then we should be prepared and be sensitive enough to go in and begin our work. Ask the question, do you understand what you're reading? How can I help you in this situation? Can I be of help to you understanding this? You have questions, maybe we can go and speak to someone to help you. We must be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit and seize the opportunity to share the gospel. And that's exactly what we see Philip doing. Look at verse 34 with me. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus Christ. Philip began where the Ethiopian was. Philip didn't come in with an agenda. Philip didn't come in like the salesman who called me the other day that I tried to get off the phone. He was very rude. I told him I wanted his services, but I wanted to redirect him. He never heard a word I said. He had his speech down, and he was going through it. I told him because of that, we would not buy his product. Philip didn't go in with an agenda. He started where the Ethiopian was. And then wherever he was, he took him to Jesus. A critical teaching point for us. We must be prepared for the opportunity when it comes to us. Here, Philip took the passage from Isaiah and led the Ethiopian directly to Jesus Christ. You can do that from anywhere in the Old Testament. If you understand the teachings of the Old Testament. We, the church, we, the people of God, I will say must have that ability. We must know our Bibles. We must know the gospel. We must know the story of our Lord God from front to back, so that when we are interjected at some point, we can take it from there and go to Jesus Christ. We have to be able to do that. We have to know the story of the Lord God. We have to know the story of His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to know the story of redemption. We have to know God's telling of His story and our place in it and move the people to Jesus Christ. When an opportunity comes, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and share the message of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready to do that. Following the explanation, the Ethiopian becomes a believer. He's baptized. And then Philip is taken away from that place and moves on in toward Caesarea to continue his preaching. The Holy Spirit completes the work desired by God, and Philip was simply the instrument. And that's what the church, that's what we are. The instruments of evangelism, the instruments of sharing the message, but it is where the Holy Spirit is working. Now, I'd like to do a compare and contrast between these two occasions that Philip had to be the evangelist. Last week, as I said, Philip was sent into Samaria. He preached there. He met Simon, the sorcerer, we discussed. And then this week, he is talking to the Ethiopian. In both of these cases, we see the same pioneering spirit of Philip. He stepped out without hesitation. He realized the moving of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, "I don't know if I can do that. Wow, I don't know if I'm prepared." He didn't say, "Well, yes, I'd love to go, but it'll take me 2 weeks to prep." No, none of that. The Spirit said, "Move from where you are and go south on the road to Gaza." Off he went. The message in both stories here, with the Samaritans and with the Ethiopian, the message was the same. A very critical point. The message was the same. Only the means of sharing was different. We in the church today must hear that. The message always remains the same, but the context of sharing the message will dictate a means that might be different from one place to another. That puts pressure on us. Again, we have to know the story of God so well that I can change context. I can change locations. I can change individuals I might be discussing with. I can change the means offered. But I'm always on message. It never changes. It never changes. In both cases, following the offering of the message, which shows the work of the Spirit before the message is given, but following the offering of the same message, we read the work of the Spirit in the conversion of those who heard the message. In both cases, there was conversion because the same message of the gospel was given. Its means was changed for either. Also, in both, we see that the outcome is the same. Joy. Joyfulness. Joyfulness at the redemption, the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit. Back in the 8th verse, we read of the Samarians that there was great joy in that city because of the sharing of the gospel. Here in our reading previous, the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. That is the ultimate outcome of conversion, is the joy that the Lord God brings to those who are his people. Those are things that are similar. Now, the differences are striking as well. Look at the people. Look at the two different stories, the two different groups of people that Philip addressed. There's a great difference in them. There was difference in race. There was difference in position. There is difference in social status. There is difference in religion. The Samaritans were of mixed race, half Jewish, half Gentile, referred to as half-breed. As I said, the Jewish people did not circulate with the Samaritans. They were at enmity, if you will, with each other. The Samaritans could be considered people of the lower end of the social class, if you would, especially to a Jewish person. They followed the teachings of Moses, not the full account of the Old Testament. And so there was great difference in the beliefs. The Ethiopian, this was a black man. Make no mistake. This was a black African. And he was a convert to Judaism. The Ethiopian was a man of power. He was a man of position. He was a man who had access to the throne, to the queen. He was a treasurer. Yet despite these great, great differences, Philip, the deacon, a Greek, the evangelist, shared the message the same message with both audiences. And both responded to the gospel. Now look at the difference in the methods used. His mission to the Samaritans, this was Billy Graham to the Samaritans. Mass evangelism. Standing out on the streets, standing in some amphitheater, standing in some place where a crowd would gather, and he's sharing the gospel to the masses. The Ethiopian, however, it was a quiet, one-on-one engagement between a non-believer and a believer as they traveled along the road. One-on-one evangelism. Same message for both. Philip obeyed the Spirit's leading, and because he was prepared, he could respond adequately in either case. Philip altered the method, but he did not alter the message. We must be. My preaching professor would get on to me for saying must so many times. We must be prepared to do such. We must be prepared to do such. Now, this is a little different. and I don't typically do this, read to you straight from a commentary. But the concluding remarks of this commentator on this particular chapter sums it up, and I would just be repeating. This is Simon Kistemacher's commentary on the book of Acts. As I said, I apologize for this method, but I want you to hear his conclusion to this passage. Do you ever feel guilty for failing to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Repeatedly, you have been exhorted to introduce the Lord to your neighbors, friends, and acquaintances, but you admit that results of your attempts have been meager. You try to witness, yet are not sure whether you choose the correct moment for your evangelistic efforts. Many instances of witnessing for the Lord are self-made and ill-timed. Instead of following the Lord, we run ahead of Him. Instead of waiting for directives from Him, we boldly formulate our own orders. Instead of asking God to provide us for an opportunity to witness, we fail to ask. Scripture tells us that we are God's fellow workers, 1 Corinthians 3. This means that God rules, God directs, God saves, and God increases His church. We are His servants and obediently take orders from Him. Therefore, we humbly ask Him to use us in His church and kingdom and to give us an opportunity to witness. When He answers our prayer, He opens a window of opportunity and crowns our effort with His blessing. And He closes with Psalm 27. It says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord." Again, my apologies for reading directly to you there, but that summation is exactly the summation of this sermon, this passage. Philip shows us that he is an instrument of the Holy Spirit. Philip did not run out ahead of God. He waited. When he was called, he went. And when he went, he delivered the same message and depended upon God to do the work of conversion. Folks, evangelism is the work of God. We are simply the instruments. The conversion, the bringing of the people, that's God's work. We are to be prepared. Now, being prepared means that we attend preaching regularly. We attend Sunday school regularly. We attend Bible studies regularly. Hit and miss attendance will give you a hit or miss Christian. If all you ever hear of God's word is this sermon, as great as the sermon, not the delivery, the message is, that's not enough. We must be people using the means of grace. All that God has given us. He knows who we are. He knows what we need. And so He provides many, many opportunities, many, many means to bring the Word of God to us so that we grow and become fluent in the language. In your quiet times, pray before you read, "Holy Spirit, come. Reveal this word to me. Teach me of this word. Grow me in this word. Prepare me in this word." That is a prayer the Holy Spirit, I believe, would love to answer. Using the means of grace, preaching, Bible studies, the Lord's Supper, fellowship, reading the Word, all those things build a full and complete Christian that will be prepared, given an opportunity to share the gospel. That's where we should be.